John Van Damme is nothing more than a figment of your imagination. Your dark, twisted, apparently very, very grumpy imagination. You should probably get some help. You're listening to The Ron Van Damme Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Damme Show.
Whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Damme Show. I'm part of that equation. How are you? Why do they call it interest rates if I'm, like, totally not interested in it? Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. What are the interest rates? That's what I ask everybody when I see them. Hi, Ron. How are you? How's everything? Hey, what are the interest rates? Quick, what are the interest rates? 5%? No, seriously, what are the interest rates? I guess that's what financial people do. How are you doing, Bob? Hey, what are the interest rates? Today, the feds, I don't even know what that means, what I just said. The feds may raise the interest rates or lower them. I have no idea what the hell's going on because I'm not interested. Whatever it is, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Run to my front lawn and yell, these interest rates are killing me. What do you want me to do? What do you write my congressperson?
If you don't do something about the interest rate, what do you want me to do? I don't know. Just do something.
We don't know what we're doing, do we? We have no idea. You know what it is? This whole thing is a bus ride. Life is a bus ride. Hang on. Grab a seat. We'll see where you end up. No destination necessary. I'll collect the fare continually as I do a short rise in interest rates. I don't understand what's going on. I really don't. I don't get it. Anyway, welcome to the country. How are you? Good to be with you. I don't know what day of the week it is. It doesn't really matter anymore. It really doesn't. I don't know if it's Sunday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. It doesn't matter. It's as long as I'm breathing and able to walk around just a little bit. Spoke to my doctor yesterday. The first question that the doctor asked me was, Ronnie, getting enough exercise? And my response was, well, whoever does. Didn't know how to respond to that. The doctor was just like, well, that's a good response. I don't know what to say. I said, no, doctor, I'm walking around. I'm walking around. I get up from the couch to the liquor cabinet to pour myself the drink. So, that's exercise in a sense, isn't it? I'm working my elbow as the glass gets closer to my mouth. Isn't that counting? Most people figure that they're healthy based on a number of steps that they take during the day. I have one of those pedometer things. I think that's what you call them. It's part of my cell phone. What isn't? What isn't? There's an app for everything. So I downloaded this thing. It's a pedometer. I think that's what you call it. I mean, I am an intelligent person, so excuse me when I have these momentary lapses of intelligence. Every time I take a step.
Every step you take, every move you make, it'll be counting you.
I'd be great at karaoke, huh? Who's next? Ron, you're next up for karaoke. What do you want to sing? Let's do that song there. Okay.
Every step you take, every move you make.
Get off the stage. Even for amateurs, that sucks. Oh, my God, that's awful.
Every move you make, every step you take.
Get off. Get out of here. People are leaving. Let's not do karaoke anymore if this is what's going to happen. When he gets up, people leave the restaurant. Let's not do this anymore. Anyway, every step I take, my pedometer, I think, again, that's what you call it, my human odometer shows me how many steps I've taken. And the presumption is that I care. It's when, hey, guess how many steps I did today? Ron, you need to get a life, seriously. No, I did like more than 5,000 steps. Which means by now I pretty much walked the length of the country. Is that what that means? I'm not sure. Then at the bottom of the screen, it has how many miles you actually walked with 5,000 steps. And I hardly made it to the... No. I walked about 3 feet. That's pretty much what that means. Anyway... Yeah, the older you get, the more your body just says, oh, screw this. I mean, come on, seriously. I had so much energy when I was a young child. I would go out outside and play with my friends. I don't know what I did with them, to be honest with you. I just played with them. Ron, go outside and play. I don't understand what that means. What does that mean? Play what? I don't know. Just play with these people. What do you want? What do I have to touch them? What do you want me to play with them? What? And then you get older and, you know, you start having sex and stuff, and playing around with somebody is a whole different ball game. Whole different ball game. Ron, what'd you do with your girlfriend? We played. We went outside and we played. Oh, I don't know what that means, but sounds good. I had a lot of energy when I was a kid. I used to run around before, I don't know how many steps I took, but I think it was a lot. I ran around nothing. I just ran. I just went out and played. And then when I was a young adult, I was juggling, man. I was juggling stuff. I mean, I'm not talking about balls or buzzsaws or anything. I'm talking about juggling my life. Yeah, at 6 o'clock I got to do this, and 6:15 I got to do this, and then at 6:18 I got to do this, and then I got to make a phone call at 6:20, and then I got to be downtown at 7:30, and I should be back by 7:90, and then 7:90, there's no such thing. I know, I got to figure it out, though. That's the way my day used to go. Always something to do, always somewhere to go, always something to anticipate and plan for. It was an incredible part of life. Life was vibrant. I lived in New York City at the time in my young adulthood. New York City is like, yeah, maybe there's a lot of pollution, but man, you got to move your ass to get places. You have to deal and think and notice. You can't walk blindly through the streets of New York. You have to be on top of your game. And it's not something you even have to think about. Your body just kicks into gear when you're in the city living. It's wonderful. You don't drive anywhere. You walk. You walk, or you get your wheelchair rolling, man. You just, and many of those apartment buildings, there were no elevators. There were brownstones. There were brownstones to the building. They were called walk-ups because you had to walk upstairs to get there. Where's your apartment? It's on the third floor. Do you have an elevator? No, I don't. I can't come over. I don't understand. It's great exercise. I do it. I used to go up and down the stairs like every day, like 50 times. Boy, was I fit. My body was glowing. Then you get a little bit older and you fall into what they call a routine. Dangerous routine. Life starts to get a little less exciting and a little more boring. Then you're hit with all these challenges, and then you got to start a family, or even if you don't, it's still a lot. Your friends change, your situation changes, all of a sudden you can't afford anything. It's just amazing. Everything is like a problem. Everything's a problem. You want to go out and eat tonight? Sure. Where do you want to go? Chinese? Let's name all the cultures. Chinese, Indian, what do you want to eat? Do you want to eat Indian, Chinese? You want to eat some Indian people, some Chinese people? What do you want to do? You want soul food? You know, you want that? Do you want some Louisiana Cajun style? What do you want to do? What do you want to have? What do you want to do? What do you want to go? I don't know. That's a problem. Now I got, how about this? Nah, I don't really want that. Well, how about going to this? Nah, I like that, but I don't really want that today. What about that? Nah, it's too fatty. But come on. Life becomes so complicated, even for the simplest things. It becomes a problem. I had Chinese food a couple of days ago. Every once in a while, and I'm not being racist or anything, cut it out. The Chinese culture food, that stuff. The kind, when it says Chinese restaurant on the building, so all right, don't get down on me. But I every once in a while have a hankering. I don't know what hankering means. I have an appetite for Chinese food. Just all of a sudden, I'm just like walking down the street, and it's boom, I want Chinese food. And it's Chinese food is so funny. It's such a funny cuisine. It's great because everything's in a wok. Hey, what do you want to have? As long as you can put it in a wok, let's do it. See, in China, which I guess where Chinese food comes from, it's done in a wok. Everything is done in a wok. Vegetables, the meat, the hobit, in a wok. They'll steam the rice, but, you know, basically we're talking about wok food. Actually, the cuisine should be called wok. Let's do wok. Not woke, wok. But the Chinese people themselves they use the wok. In our country, the wok is just a symbol for Chinese food. Basically, it's the fryolator. For some reason, in America, Chinese food is deep fried. I don't know how that happened. That's not the way it really is, to my knowledge. We do the egg rolls. We do these fried wontons. We fry every with the Peking ravioli. Ravioli. No, I don't think so. I don't think that's ravioli. Everything's in the fryer later. The fried shrimp. Everything's fried. Or at least not everything, but Americans love the fried aspect of the Chinese cuisine. They call them the appetizer platter. Really, what that means is it's all the shit that we threw in the fryer later, and Americans love this. They just love it. It's an interesting cuisine. Indian food. Oh, by the way, the Chinese cuisine, they make up stuff. They have chicken fingers. Not a thing. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. There's no fingers involved here. They're shaped like fingers, perhaps. Hey, Florida's shaped like a penis, but I'm not going to eat that. The Indian food. Very, very tasty. Very spicy. If you ever have constipation, Indian food, that will run through your system within a matter of 30 seconds to a minute. Or if it doesn't, it'll surprise you at the most inopportune times. I can't handle Indian food. About an hour after, I get this gigantic surprise in my pants. It's a very difficult cuisine for me. And I don't know the difference between all the different dishes, the Indian dishes, because they all taste exactly the same. Sure, there's various sauces, masala, I believe is how you pronounce it, curry, all these things. They all taste the same. It's just rice and a little bit of meat and some peas. In the same sauce. It's everything. As a matter of fact, when I go to the Indian buffet and I put all the stuff on my plate, I've got 8 different items on my plate, but they all taste exactly the same. Exactly the same. But it's healthy. Spicy food is actually good for you. Spicy food actually helps with your digestion. It sure does rush stuff. You know, instead of when you get a colonoscopy, I don't know how I got there, when you get a colonoscopy, you have to drink all this Gatorade stuff with the powder, and it cleans out your system, and you spend about 6 hours on the toilet like every second, and you're cleansed. No, that's not necessary anymore. Just eat Indian food. It will clean you out like a janitor in a school. It will clean you out. And you don't have to sit on the toilet all day. It'll clean you out in one shot. It's boom. It's like a cannon coming out of your ass. Am I being too graphic? These are my impressions, by the way. Everything that I've said since the beginning of the show, my impressions. These are my impressions. It's not necessarily the case, but they're my impressions. Thank you very much. The most entertaining food in the world, the Japanese hibachi. Oh, yeah. That's where you sit around a table, and the tabletop is actually a preparation area. It's a stove. It's a freaking stove. You're sitting at the stove is what you're doing. And you're sitting around, there's about like 8 people seated around this table, and they're all people that you don't know and wouldn't want to ever know, but we're all there for a common purpose. We just can't figure out what it is. And all of a sudden, this guy with a large chef's hat that's about 6 feet tall kind of looks like a very freaky, shorter version of Lincoln, will stand there and start like juggling with knives and things like that. And it's very, very entertaining. Who doesn't like a good knife juggling act? And then he'll start chopping up, and I say he, because I've never seen a woman do this, will start chopping up vegetables and onions and stuff and setting things on fire, and just an amazing culinary acrobatic act. And it is very entertaining. It's food entertainment, and that's about the only cuisine that offers that. The chef, there's probably a name for it, and I don't know what it is. The chef guy will start flinging food. He will start throwing food at your mouth. You're sitting at the table. The chef will look at you. You open your mouth, and the chef will put a little bit of chicken at the end of a knife or something, and flick it and fling it towards your mouth. I don't know. Now it starts to get a little bizarre entertainment-wise. He will take an onion and flick it into the air, and it'll land at the top of his stovepipe hat. There's a lot of stuff going on. He'll take an onion and create like a barbecue pit with it, you know, like with the rings, and then he'll squirt it with the lighter fluid or propane gas, I don't know what it is, and then he'll light it on fire, and it'll be an onion volcano before your very eyes. Yeah, it's very, very entertaining. So you see the food being cooked like right in front of you. When I say right in front of you, don't lean forward because you could get like burned. And then he'll divide it amongst the 8 people as best he can. There's always someone who says, hey, wait a minute, that guy got more than I did. It's always more food than you can eat. Very, very tasty, very, very a good time. And everybody at the table bonds. Although I know nothing about the other people sitting at the table with me, and when I leave the restaurant, I will never see them again. But for a moment, it's kind of fun. Everybody has a good time. This chef will also take a squeeze bottle and start squirting alcohol towards your face, and you have to open up your mouth. And if you don't, it gets all over you, and you go, oh, this is fun. Very, very entertaining. The hibachi thing. If you haven't done it, you should do it because I told you to. All right. I guess I've spent most of the show talking about various cuisines and how they make no sense, or they're incredibly entertaining. I really have no idea which it is. And that's the story, man. All right. I have a guest today. We're going to talk about acne. I know. Where did that come from? well, if you eat like this and you eat bad foods, you could get acne. Now, acne is not a result necessarily of eating greasy, fatty foods, but I've got to connect this these subjects somehow, so I'm going for that angle. I don't know. But a lot of people do suffer from these skin things, and it's embarrassing. It's not something somebody wants. How do you deal with it? It's not that odd. A lot of people have it, especially younger people. Sometimes it goes away. Sometimes it doesn't. So we're going to talk to a dermatologist about that and about maybe some ways. You know, technology, it's not just in the computer field. There's medical technology, and they come up with some stuff that works better than before. If you're going to have some kind of disease, I guess this is the best time to have it. That sounded weird, isn't it? But I mean that. I mean, they're coming up with stuff in order to treat or at least live with what some of these diagnoses are. If you watch television, every single television commercial is about some type of health problem, some type of medical condition, and how you can talk to your doctor and get it somehow resolved. It's a very depressing thing to watch television these days. Because all you do you're just constantly reminded of all these things that can happen to you medically. it's awful. It's just awful. I watch television to escape, not to like have it thrown in my face with the reality. Stop that.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like-cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Dr. Sonia Batra joins us now. She's founder of Dermatology Practice in Santa Monica, California. And you may know her as the co-host of CBS's talk show, The Doctors, that long-running show as well. Thanks for being with us today.
Ron, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to join the Boston market. I was a student there for so many years.
Oh, my God. You certainly made something of yourself there.
No, it was an incredible experience. I was so grateful to be in New England, in the Northeast.
It's not so bad, except for the traffic. Other than that, it's a very nice place. Anyway, we're talking about acne today, and you know, we're talking about it on a different level. Of course, it's a problem. It's a battle sometimes, but there's a psychology to this, isn't there?
There is, because anytime you have a condition that impacts the way you look, it impacts the way other people perceive you. And so that can take a tremendous toll on your self-esteem. When you don't look your best, you certainly don't feel your best, and that can really take a toll on your self-confidence as well.
You know, I know from television commercials in the past decades that teenagers seem to be concerned with this, but it goes beyond those years, doesn't it?
It definitely does, and I think that's a common misconception, right, is that it's just teenagers. And I think many of us adults who've woken up on an important day and had a pimple realize that acne affects all ages. And I think especially adult women now are in greater and greater numbers, unfortunately, experiencing hormonal acne, which can persist into your 30s and 40s and beyond.
Dr. Sonia, why do some people have this condition and others don't?
Well, I mean, I think that's a really complicated question and an excellent one, but it boils down to the three factors that really cause acne. It's due to an overproduction of oil, a bacteria that lives in the pores, and a tendency for the pores to get clogged with dead skin cells. And what kind of fuels that perfect storm of those three things can be hormones, it can be genetics, and sometimes it can even be the products you use or the way you take care of your skin.
Can acne develop into a more serious condition?
Well, I think the severity of acne can make it really serious sometimes because it leads to scarring. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when people have really deep-seated cysts and nodules under the surface of their skin, yeah. Those can be sources of a lot of pain. They can be very, very uncomfortable. But even more problematically is that they can destroy the underlying collagen.
Yeah.
So over time, you can get divots and long-running depressions that are really difficult
there
to treat.
Go.
So that can sometimes be a much more serious and problematic issue, especially in terms of self-esteem and self-confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about it, but I know that women wear makeup. I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. So they have maybe some opportunity there as far as that's concerned. Men and boys, not so much. Is that accurate?
Well, yeah, and I think sometimes men often don't also voice how much their acne bothers them.
Yeah.
And so because they can't necessarily rely on camouflage the way women can in a more socially acceptable way, unfortunately, in a lot of situations, I think men and boys sometimes really suffer with their acne just in terms of their appearance, but also just that their acne can become a lot less controlled. They have sometimes a harder time sticking with a regimen. Yeah. And so actually one of the things I was here to talk about this morning, today's acne, you know, in terms of June, it's Acne Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And I'm also here to promote awareness of a newer device that just got FDA cleared.
Oh.
It's the first energy-based device that's cleared to treat mild to severe acne, and it's really actually been a huge advance for some of my male patients, as you pointed out, because they might be a little less likely to use a regimen with like a wash or a cream, and it's actually a laser treatment that's performed in a doctor's office. It's three treatments, one month apart.
Oh, so this is not a cream applied to the face.
No, and so that's what makes it really exciting because it's actually an energy-based device. It's a laser that's in a doctor's office, and it targets the oil glands themselves. So it's actually treating one of the causes of acne, which is the sebum production. And so that's really exciting because you're right. Many of the other tools in our armamentarium have been traditionally creams and washes and sometimes pills. And this is the first real medication-free option that we have that can be done in a doctor's office for you instead of relying on someone at home to use the regimen on their own.
How long is this treatment effective?
Well, it's in terms of how long it's effective, it's done three treatments 1 month apart, but the results continue for months and even years afterwards. In fact, 6 months after that third treatment, 90% of people in clinical trials saw an improvement. And 12 months after the last treatment, 92% of people saw an improvement in their acne. Mm. So we think it's a really nice long-term reduction in oil production, which leads to a reduction in acne.
Mm. Is this covered by insurance yet?
Not yet, unfortunately. Uh-huh. But I'll tell you, what is covered by insurance frequently is going in and seeing a dermatologist or a healthcare provider to talk about your acne.
Yeah.
So we can really tailor our armamentarium and a treatment regimen to help people who suffer from it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's that level of a concern, then that it's things become worth it. Is I think what I'm trying to say.
It certainly can be, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do most dermatologists, are they aware of this of AviClear?
Well, I'm not sure all dermatologists are aware of AviClear yet, and that's one of the intents of raising awareness this month in June. I think many of us who read a lot of the journals and go to the meetings and keep up to date certainly are, but I think it's as the awareness is trickling through the community, it's also trickling through the medical side as well. So it is a newer technology, and it's first of its kind in terms of being an energy-based device that's cleared for moderate to severe acne. So it's exciting to raise awareness all around.
Yeah. One should always know all of their options before they decide to take a certain route. And so I guess there's a website that they can go to gather that information and discuss it with their dermatologist?
There is. So the website is called AviClear.com, and it talks more about the device and where you can find a provider. And they're also on social media at TikTok and Instagram at AviClear.
Excellent. Well, thank you for bringing it to our attention. I didn't know about it, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't. Now there's another option, and that's a good deal. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for raising the awareness.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Okay. That'll do it for today. I will be back tomorrow with a brand new program, whatever day that is. But until then, have yourself a wonderful day if you can possibly do that. You should be in control of that. Sometimes not, but you should be. But until that time arrives tomorrow, I wish you peace.